Frank Bull is brought to you by CBD American Shaman in Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness at 117th and Row in Camelot Court. Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness is the perfect place to start your wellness journey, offering medical aesthetics and IV nutrient therapy. Go to shamantotalwellness.com.
He's the only man to interview modern-day gladiators at Arrowhead and original gladiators in the Coliseum. He grew up rooting for Honus Wagner and saw Jesse Owens get 4 golds in Berlin. He saw Wilt score 100 in a night. Points, of course. Yes, we are saying he's old. It's the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bull, on the program.
He is a godfather.
He's old.
Brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Only way to get him to walk around here, rub him up, and get him ready to go, right?
That's it. Gosh, you got to get all my joints loose.
You got to get him loose, baby. Frank Bull is in here. Did you hear on the feud earlier where they said, what's the next mountain?
I did not hear. I was listening to the whole feud, and then I get up to do something. And yeah. I guess I missed that question.
You missed that one.
So what
Everest was
the,
number one. You're okay. Not doing that. That's too much.
No, I had that in my bucket list at one time, but no longer.
Kilimanjaro made the list.
Yeah,
that's doable.
It's very doable.
Doable.
That one's doable, yeah.
A lot of money, though.
A lot of money to do that one.
Yeah.
Even more money to do Everest.
The final one ended up being Mount St. Helens. And we thought people were trying to get you hurt.
Make sure but he's on the mountain when it explodes.
But they know kind of when it's going to explode.
It already did.
Yeah, but they knew that. Remember when it happened? They're would you people get away from here? And some people were like, well, I'm not going anywhere. And
then
they got blown to smithereens.
They had a 24-hour camera on it just for that.
Yeah.
And we see that.
What were the other answers, Curtis? What did we have? Kilimanjaro.
Everest, Mount St. Helens.
That's Mount St. Helens. We got another one.
Everest, Pikes Peak, Kilimanjaro, Pikes McKinley.
I've done Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
McKinley.
McKinley. Denali. You haven't done that one.
Haven't
That's
done
tall.
Denali, yeah.
Yeah. How many 14ers
Davis.
Have you done?
32 of
and
the
there are
58.
How many? 58 in Colorado or 58 in America?
No, 32 of the 58 in Colorado. There are more than that in America,
Most but there are no 15,000 foot mountains in the lower 48, correct?
Contiguous. United States. Yes.
No. How tall is McKinley? Look that up, Denali. I think that one might be higher, but it's up in Alaska.
19,000?
Could
maybe?
Be. You maybe should go up and do 19. That.
Yeah, that one's a little dangerous.
Why don't you do that?
So is Mount Rainier.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's got to be clear day and
they have
all
the
that.
Crevasses and snow melt.
McKinley is only 40 feet tall. I don't know. That's
40?
Kind of weird.
That's
no.
it?
20.5. Well, that's 20,310 feet.
I want you to go try that.
Okay.
Yeah, next week.
Okay.
Would you get up there and do it?
No problem.
Frank Bull, the Godfather, is with us here on the program. Seren Petra's on vacation.
Yeah,
we're having some
good
fun.
For him.
You couldn't tell.
No, you couldn't?
He's done 2 podcasts since then, so he's still getting stuff done while he's doing.
He hasn't texted me any breaking news. I told him on Monday, he was texting me something. I said, would you go enjoy your vacation?
Yeah,
we're
going
to do these radio shows, okay?
Yeah, he likes to work, man.
I know.
Just Why let should. It go for a week.
I said, and I told him, smile. That's all I want to do is smile. He loves to smile.
He does.
He really does love to smile.
Is it that he likes to work, or does he just think we're all terrible, and he just doesn't trust us?
Probably that. A lot of
the podcast stuff. It's just he likes to do stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't know no one's better than Seren?
I knew that.
You didn't know that?
No, I knew that. I just thought I think I'm better than Seren thinks I am, if that makes sense. But no, I'm not better than Seren by any means.
Gotcha.
At anything.
Got it.
You better be better than he thinks you are, because he doesn't think much of you.
I know.
Just kidding. We're having some fun here with Frank Bull.
You won't believe that I went through a whole feud today with
You did a pretty good job with that.
He's not going to believe that.
No mistakes?
He can check the tape. He can check the tape.
He won't check the tape.
I didn't tell you this during the break, but I want to play soundbite number one, okay, here with Frank. Let's talk a little bit about the trade deadline came yesterday for the Royals, and it looked like nothing was going to happen. And then finally, at the very, very end, Whit Merrifield got traded away to the Blue Jays. And after I got home last night, and J.J. Piccolo had a Zoom, so I got on there, and I wanted to ask him about being transactional. And I think most of the day yesterday, we didn't feel like the Royals were being very transactional. Okay.
Right.
Now, in the end, they made a couple of trades. Cam Gallagher got traded as well. So I asked J.J. Piccolo if he kind of felt like they were moving that direction.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it was. We've added depth to our minor league system, and we've added depth to our pitching staff. So to get two players that we valued in return for Witt, I think is a win for us. I also think it's a win for the Blue Jays. You know, they added a player that's going to help them down a playoff stretch. And the same reason we valued him for a number of years is where his value lied with the other clubs. He's really good protection in a lot of areas. If you lose, you go on a 2 or 3 game skid in the middle of a playoff race, you may not be in the playoff race anymore. So I think it was a win for both clubs. I would classify it as transactional, but I think if you look at the entire picture, again, going back to, you know, the Santana trade, I think this month has been pretty transactional for us.
Do you agree? Have they been transactional?
I think the Santana trade being folded into the deadline is
a reach.
Yeah, I think that helps their cause, helps their argument a little bit. I think that's
The second he got good enough to trade, they traded him. I'll give him credit.
Yeah,
for that.
That's true. But I don't consider that a deadline deal. I think that's a deal that was. I would not consider that a deadline deal, but. It did happen in the last month, so his point stands, Francis. Sorry.
Yeah, it might change under JJ, although Dayton Moore's there. JJ might be more of a transactional guy, and maybe that will help Dayton Moore just go, hey, it's yours, take it, and let's see what you're going to do. I think they should have traded Whit Merrifield a couple of years ago. They could have got a lot more for him than they got at the deadline.
What's up, Frank Bowl?
What's up, Frank?
Am I in trouble?
No.
You didn't push that button. You need to say my bad.
Lawman coming to get me?
My bad.
Okay.
The good news is you did a really nice job during the feud.
Yeah.
That's over now.
Okay. Next hour. The deal is I hope they become more transactional. I think the Royals value their players way more than other baseball teams do. I think they see them, which you can say it's bad or good, they see them as human beings and not just, collateral. And I think that slows down their process of being transactional because they value their players more than other teams would value those same players and move them and start to move some pieces and try to get better. Because the Royals obviously haven't contended for a long period of time. I think it's going to be a while before they are back into that situation. I'd say the end of this decade, somewhere around 27, where they get to a point where they are playing 500 or better baseball and look like they're in the playoff.
That's
mix.
a long ways away.
Okay.
That's a long ways away. You tell me it's 27 now?
28 by the time they are a real contender.
You're killing me, Frank. Hey, can't be that long.
Hey, they were 30 years between World Series.
We don't want that
okay?
talk.
So,
oh, my God.
I'm tempted to say that if they aren't a 500 team or a winning team in 2 years, they're not going to be 1-5.
No.
Well, yeah, they better show
some
signs. You
know what I'm saying? I mean, if they are at least a 500 team, if they aren't in that vicinity at the end of Bobby Witt's contract, when he gets towards the end, he'll
be gone.
But yeah. I think if they're going to strike it, I think they need to strike more quickly than that.
Yeah, for sure.
Or else I kind of feel like if they don't, that it's it might be more than 5 years. It might be
sure
10 years.
They should.
Yeah,
they
but
should.
Will, but will they?
But yeah. will they? That's yeah. all I'm saying. Yeah. I don't have that much confidence in it. Myself, that's just me.
You wouldn't have thought 5 years.
Okay, I love Bobby Witt. I love some of the young kids that are playing. MJ Melendez, but I don't like his defense behind the plate.
Yeah,
of course we are used to seeing Salvador Perez,
right.
who is could end up in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Some people think he might end up being a corner outfielder type.
So yeah,
Melendez. That's certainly where they're using him a lot now. But you see my point of if with these young players and. When they be a new regime kind of coming in and which we expect at some point and to build quickly, if they don't get it turned around and within a short order of time and by 2 or 3 years, that if they're still sitting there in 2025 and they're playing 420 ball,
3 years from now.
I don't think they're going to be good in 27 either. I think to be good in 27, I think they need to be good before that, if that makes any sense.
All right, that's fine.
I see what you're saying.
I'm
but
just saying. I just
Frank's being honest.
I just don't see it. I haven't seen it. Unless they get more aggressive on what they're doing, it's going to be tough. I still say they have a real issue developing their pitchers in the minor league system. And that could either be scouting, meaning they're scouting the wrong guys and then taking the wrong guys in the draft who can't be developed, or they're getting the right guys in the draft and their scouts are doing well, but they can't. They can't develop these kids.
Some of that maybe we'll have some more input on the guys they got for Benintendi.
Yes.
Because those aren't – those will be developmental guys, but not guys they drafted. So it may be a more – I think if those guys don't work out or if they just kind of plateau and never get any better, you might it might be more on development than scouting.
Yeah.
But if those guys take off, you think, well, maybe the development isn't as bad. They just don't know how to scout guys in college and high school.
Right.
But the minors is a little easier. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys pan out to see what you can kind of look backwards and see what's the bigger problem is maybe.
They'll have a bigger push for it, too, when they expand the playoffs and do all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. 500, being 500 is a great goal, will be a great goal at that point for them. It won't be for other teams, but it will be for them.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they push that button, how they make some more trades, how they add some people – you know, whatever they're going to try to do.
So, Frank, yesterday I said this on the air after Whit got traded, that we should, in my opinion, Whit Merrifield was a good Royal, was a good player, did a lot of good things, and was overlooked often as a minor leaguer.
Yes, he was.
And he should not be thought of as the part where he didn't get vaccinated. And, you know, it's a sad end to his career with the Royals, and I think it might have been a catalyst to be, although J.J. Piccolo said that's not why they traded him. And I believe it's got to be a little small part. It's not the number one reason they traded him.
Right.
Okay. But there's part of being a leader and being part of the team and being the guy they look to and being available to go play. And this was a choice.
He's a good player.
This was a choice he made to not be available. This was not like you got hurt and now you can't play. Okay. This was definitely his choice to not be available. Now, JJ said they didn't talk about this, and this just boggles my mind that the Blue Jays and Royals didn't talk about this. And JJ wouldn't go into any sort of detail about it because he's not our player anymore. We're not going to talk about it. This morning, the Jays have already played today. They're on the road till the 12th.
Yes.
Their manager, I'll give you a nickel if you can tell me his name, because they already fired a guy, John Schneider. Is that the Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They fired just Tom Wolf.
He said this morning, they're in Tampa right now. He said this morning there is nothing new on his vax status. We obviously knew he wasn't in Toronto, but that's totally up to him. And I'm sure that he's had conversations with his family and other people. So, you know, we're leaving that decision up to him.
He's getting vaxxed.
I think
he's
so.
He's already started the process.
But
I'll bet you any money.
But he is here's what's interesting about Whit. He was not someone who tweeted everything, okay? But he has not tweeted since the day before all that stuff went down.
Right.
Because there's no sense in it. You tweet anything out, what he's going to get for the rest of his life, and I'm sure I don't check his mentions or whatever, but I'm sure that day he had both sides at him. You're a hero. What's wrong with you forever? And the way I work it, the way Curtis works it too, you don't react to anyone on Twitter, right?
Not normally.
Not normally.
Not normally.
I think Whit and I, Whit and I basically
Curtis
do the same thing.
The
negative ones, I just kind of let it roll off my back.
Yeah, it never bothers him in any way.
But,
so he has not been, and I think Hunter Dozier might have even deactivated his account or something when all that stuff went down, because this is the bad part.
It got ugly.
Media.
Sure it does.
It gets ugly.
It
so
was, it got political.
Whit has not, he has not tweeted out, hey, Blue Jays fans, I'm getting the shot. I'll see you in 2 weeks. He hasn't tweeted, thanks so much, Royals fans, for supporting me. Any of that. He's done none of that stuff. Patrick Mahomes did retweet the Royals tweet last night and say thanks for and I say you should thank Whit Merrifield for being what he was for the Royals. Because I think I see both sides with Whit Merrifield. He was a very good player for him for some not very good teams. And I think he missed out on the good part in 15 when he had been told he was getting called up and then never got called up. So that's going to stick with you forever.
Yes.
Regardless. How are you going to remember Whit Merrifield?
I think he's a fine player for a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
So he did his thing. I think he carried a chip on his shoulder. If that helped him be a better player, that was okay with me because of the World Series snub from him. And never came around to happen again for him here. The ironic thing, and the thing you're really going to remember as you go, if the Toronto Blue Jays win the World Series and Whit Merrifield went and got vaxxed and was participating in all the games and did everything else, that will always be part of Whit Merrifield. He anti-vaxxed with the Royals, but as soon as he got with a contender, he went out and got his shots, and he was all in for that team because they were a contender. And that is going to rub people the wrong way.
Yeah, and Whit tried to clarify what he had said before, because I think that part of the, if he was on a contending team, didn't mean that it was another team besides the Royals necessarily. If the Royals were a contending team, they would have considered it. But here's the thing. I think those guys all, when they weren't any good, decided, we're not doing this.
Yeah, right.
Maybe they would have if the Royals were three games.
If the Royals do it, okay, they made a decision, we don't want to get vaccinated. Okay, that's great. Royals are muddling around where they are, and all of a sudden they have to go to Toronto, and there's 10 of those guys who didn't want to do it for whatever reasons they have, which are legitimate reasons. It's their body, their health. But the deal was they didn't end up going to Toronto. Then all of a sudden, one of them, the biggest name of all of them, decides at the last, okay, I'm getting traded to a contender.
Well, we Andrew Benintendi? He's playing only three games in Toronto, but if they play in the postseason, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But he got his answer in New York was, we haven't gotten that figured out yet. So, and once again, the Yankees didn't ask. I mean, I guess you can't ask a player. I guess you have to ask the Royals. Here's the deal. Ask the Royals, hey, Lou, if you trade him, could you ask him? Can you pass him a note and say, do you like me?
You know,
get a shot, yes, no, maybe. One.
You know the agents back there going, come on, let's go here. Here's what we're going to do.
I don't think they traded for either guy completely blind of what their vaccination status would be if they when they joined the team.
I'll say this, and I don't think this is what's going to happen. If Whit Merrifield doesn't get a vaccination, this is I can't say worse, but the dumbest trade in baseball history. There's no
Toronto
secret. There's no surprise.
It's crazy.
Because there have been some really bad trades, one-sided trades, a Hall of Famer for whatever. But this is like, if the Blue Jays didn't have some sort of assurance that he would be available to play, and I don't think timeline-wise, unless he has already begun the process,
I think he has.
I don't know, but John Schneider today says nothing new on that.
Well, maybe he hasn't.
But he won't be able to play for them when he didn't play today. They started this. They've been playing today. I don't even know if he's down there yet. I haven't seen a report that he's there or what's going on. And like JJ said last night, this ain't the Royals' problem. He is not on their team anymore. He's not going to talk about this
type
of stuff for a player on another team. But if I'm a Blue Jays fan and they end up not getting because they're not going to get the full Whit Merrifield if he hasn't gotten any shots yet already, because he won't be able to play on the 12th because of the timeline of how these things operate, then you're already giving the thing up. And if he never gets vaccinated and you're like, because maybe this is a pretty contending team, but maybe not good enough.
Wait a minute.
Then the anger's with the Blue Jays, not with Whit Merrifield.
Here's the deal.
Exactly. Right. And what have you done?
Yeah, but how did you make this move not knowing?
Well, here's the deal, too. You have to be the dumbest baseball team on earth if you're Toronto Blue Jays, you get him and he doesn't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
He's not playing
Not only is he playing
in a World Series or playoffs, he's not playing at home.
JJ didn't want to get specific about this stuff last night because they're not asking these guys every day. They came to them 3 weeks before they were supposed to go to Toronto and said, where are we? That's what they came to. And then they're like, oof. And we don't know. I still haven't been told anywhere. Maybe there were 15 of them and five of them got vaccinated.
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll never know that number.
We don't know.
Officially. Because
they didn't have to put it on a list. So maybe that was the case. Who knows? And maybe at that point, after this whole thing went down, because I know there were some conversations with Whit Merrifield and the brass, because we had Dayton Moore on Serena asking questions. He was frustrated. He was disappointed. You know, all of these things with many of their players, and really frustrated and disappointed with what Whit's comments were afterwards. And maybe they said, hey, listen, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get traded. You got to start thinking about this. And maybe he went and, you know, started the process. I don't know.
Right.
As the trade deadline approached.
And his comment that when he tried to clarify something and left you feeling much just as muddled as you were beforehand. And at some point, maybe he should just stop talking about the topic. But
yes,
he's going to keep being asked about it. But he said, you know, he mentioned whether or not I didn't say I would do it for another team. Just maybe
a competitive team.
With a team that was competitive, which at the point you're like, yeah, another team, because this team clearly isn't. The one question, I guess, would still be out there is, if the Royals had had the season that the organization expected,
would you have gotten
and they
shot?
Were in the running, would he have been ready to go?
And maybe
would they have had 10 people not ready for Toronto,
perhaps,
or would they have had 2?
Yeah, that perhaps when you have that meeting 3 weeks before, they're like, hey, man, you know, we're 2 games up. This is a really big series. We're going into the break and all this. And they're like, yeah, all right, we're in. Yeah,
but
we're
at 20 in. Under.
Why? Not going to do it.
What would I do that for?
The other deal to me, it has to really stick in his craw. How many games in a row did he play?
500.
Whatever it was, right? And he looks back at.
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt the day before.
Hold it. Yeah, right. The Altoberto Mondesi thing has to stick in his craw.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, just that, just every day, just you.
Well, that's what, you know.
You get a World Series ring,
when he didn't get the call up in 15, it wasn't about Mondesi.
No,
it was about a pitching situation, so he didn't get that.
Yeah.
But then they put Mondesi on the World Series roster.
Yes.
And he got a ring. And
everything.
He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, in the mob, everything. You know, on the mound and all that stuff. And then the next year, Witt doesn't make the team out of spring training. Mm-hmm. And he comes up and performs well. 2-hit Witt, blah, blah, blah. And then the next year, he doesn't make the team out of spring training. He didn't make opening day until 2018.
I know.
So those things, and he is someone who files it away and it bothers you and all that stuff. So I get how, and I do think he was committed to this organization. They committed to him. They signed him to a deal that they didn't need to sign him to. They could have just arbitrationed him out and done all that stuff. But they signed him to a deal that was good for them and good for him.
Sure.
Gave him some security as an older player.
Right.
And he's a tradable guy, even though he's declined each year. But he's still a bargain for what baseball costs these days. But I don't know. It's interesting. We'll have to watch and see. I know there'll be plenty of Royals fans paying attention to what's going on with the Blue Jays in this situation to see where it goes. So.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
See what happens. I'm pretty sure he's going to get.
Yeah, totally. So that's one thing. We'll see how it ends up going there with J.J. Piccolo. What do you think so far about what you're hearing out of Chiefs camp? Orlando Brown
Good.
Is there.
Good.
You happy about that?
Yeah, I was really happy.
Are you glad it's not about the money, but it's about the guarantees?
I really don't care about those okay? Don't confuse me, okay? I've never had a guarantee in life. So
well, you had some contracts, though.
But no, they could have axed me at any time, okay?
Your personal contact part is the bad news.
Yes, absolutely.
You always get you.
I always get you that. But the deal is with him, I'm so glad he came in. I didn't expect to see him at this time. I think that's great. I think he realizes I'm going to play in a franchise tag. I'm going to face the top of the edge rushers in the NFL this season as we go along. I'll be playing against some of the guys twice. And I think if I do my due diligence, I come into camp, I get in shape, and I have a great season, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get my bag, and I'm going to be very happy and the whole thing. And I think it's great that he came in. I think it's a great sign. Came in with a great attitude. Reinserted right away at left tackle, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Chiefs can move on to start to figure out some other things like right tackle and maybe some of the defensive end things. But I like the Carlos Dunlap thing too. I like that. That's great. They need help. Frank Clark coming in, you know, skinnier and better shaped than he was.
Trying to be healthier.
Karloftis looking like he's got a great motor. I think things are looking really good for this team. And even some help at linebacker where they really didn't need a lot of help.
Right.
Looks like they might have some real help at linebacker.
Might have some help there with Chanel.
Yes.
And let's hear from Willie Gay now, who was at the podium today. This is his third year, and it's pretty interesting stuff that he was talking about. You know, didn't come real quick to him. You know, it was a weird – when he got drafted, it was COVID and virtual and all that stuff. So I think that was harder for a lot of guys. So we'll just start at the top with what we have from Willie Gay on our sheet here. I expect him to be better. Mm-hmm. You know, he should be more comfortable in this. He should be ready to go. There's been rave reviews so far about Nick Bolton from Steve Spagnuolo about what he's going to bring. He's going to be like the green sticker guy, it sounds like, who's going to call the plays. As you mentioned, Leo Chanel is going to be a player they depend on him. they're going to mostly be two linebackers most of the time because of the way football works now. But they need Willie Gay to be a good player for sure. And he had a couple of things happen good today. Picked off Patrick Mahomes. And one of the things that they asked him about was picking him off in practice again today.
Give me a lot of confidence. You know, I got goals to lead linebackers in the NFL in interceptions this year. So when Pat throws me some, I know the other quarterbacks will, but they're not as good as him. So, you know.
Do you ever say anything to Pat, or does he?
Oh, nah. I ain't that cocky.
Well, you said you want to lead the league in the interceptions among linebackers.
Yeah.
What gives you that confidence to make that goal?
Because I know I can do it. Coming out of college, man, I was a guy I feel like was drafted because of my coverage ability. And, man, like, I feel like I dropped four of them last year, you know, Cowboys, Broncos. You know, I feel a couple other teams I can say. And I feel like, man, if I make those opportunities and, you know, make the play, that's like 5-6 interceptions last year. So this year, man, I really can take it to the next level. I know that for a fact, so I'm definitely going to do that.
It's Willie Gay talking today up at Chiefs camp. I like that talk, too. And let's play this next one because it kind of goes all together. Stephen St. John's up there for us, and he asked Willie what it's like, how comfortable he feels being in year three in this system.
You know, every day, man, we're growing and we're learning more and more. You can never be perfect, I feel. You know, that's how I take it on. And, I mean, I'm good now, of course. Like, I feel like this is going to be a great year mentally for us all. We can execute our plays and run the scheme well. And so I feel like we're in a good spot, so we're going to do it, man.
You know that you were a little overwhelmed your rookie season. At what point did you feel like, okay, I'm no longer thinking and I kind of am one with the system in a sense of respect?
Really, man, it took me the year too, honestly, because I mean, I don't like looking back, but rookie year, I kind of gave up on it a little bit. I was just like, I'm just waiting my turn. So year two was when it really got going for me mentally, and my confidence level went up a lot, so. Ever since the end, man, now we're on the up and up.
I don't think coaches really like to hear that he gave up on it in year one and the studying part of it. But
he's redeemed himself well since then.
Yeah, he's gotten better. And, you know, last year he was interesting. We talked about how the first year was virtual and all the OTAs and all that stuff, and he wasn't playing as much. He wasn't getting the scheme as much. He just said right there, kind of gave up on it his first year. I'll just wait my turn. Last year, remember, he had the tweet the one day about his mental situation doing great. And then we remember asking him about it after a game because we didn't get to see these guys all the time because you're kind of isolated and you're doing that. And he said he was doing much better. And then he had the situation. His child was born very premature. You know, it was during the playoffs. The baby was in the hospital. Then he got in trouble for going over and breaking a door jam and a vacuum. I mean, so he had some things going on. Right now, today, sounds like he's doing pretty well mentally. Things are going well on the field. That's super important for a young player.
Oh, gosh. There's no doubt. It's all about the confidence level. The kid has the athletic ability. In fact, you know,
all these guys up there have the athletic ability.
This guy has more athletic ability than most. Okay, but a lot of it's in your head. You know, am I good enough to play this game? Can I play with these guys? Worried about my baby and the baby's mom. You know, having some issues at home and, you know, trying to incorporate a baby with a new career, and you're now playing the NFL, you're not playing in college anymore. There's a million things going on these guys. A lot of these guys talk about mental health. Look at a lot of the old guys, the guys who have retired from the game, commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just, it is a mental.
Well, the maturity level is, listen, we're all different. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think when you listen to him talk right there, he would admit to you he wasn't mature enough to really do this his first year.
Yeah.
And as I said, they were tough circumstances to do this. A lot of these guys, they need the real structure of going to OTAs and camp and all that stuff. When you're doing all that stuff in the virtual world, you're kind of left with your own device. Some guys is fine. Some guys are okay. I don't think it was good for him. I don't think it was. And hopefully he's found some peace in his life and some maturity because he has all this talent. And if you jack this up and you don't get your chances later, then you can make a waste of what could be a promising career.
The potential upside at the linebacker position with Willie Gay and Nick Bolton from an athletic standpoint is really can change the way this Chiefs team's trajectory is. If they can live up to 80% or 90% of that potential this year, that's kind of that spot where we see some possibilities. We don't really know. There at least are some knowable things about the defensive front and about the secondary.
And the good news is, I mean, they're cheap. Salary cap cheap. I mean, you got these guys on first contract. Anthony Hitchens was so expensive. He was fine. You know, I'm not running down Anthony Hitchens, but Anthony Hitchens probably didn't give you what you paid for on the football field.
There were a lot of after a play, you see, you know, on Twitter, you see these little gifts of the replay up Hitch.
And there were the times early on, and this was really what really brought its ugly head up in that Chargers game early. They weren't ready for plays. And Spags said it was partially on him, and that's partially on Hitch. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't have the plays put in, and they're lining up. They didn't know the Chargers were going to go fast, didn't know they're going to go for two, didn't know if they're going to, you know, do it. So they're going to have to be ready for those things because people are coming at them from all different angles.
Yeah, and they want them badly.
One more subject before we take a break and come back with Frank Opinions. What do you make of the Deshaun Watson appeal today by the NFL? First off, the length of the suspension and the appeal, where do you think this is going to go?
You sort of knew when you heard it was six games from the judge who didn't interview or look at all the women involved in that. She took, I think, six or eight incidents that happened, especially the Tao incidents were the ones that got her attention. He purposely went in with a towel on and not the sheets that normally wrap you up if you ever had a massage.
So tell me a story. How's that work?
Right. Yeah, I forget. So with that, and then she hands down six games. They left her wide open for the commissioner to do this. Now, you guys talked about it, and the first thing I thought about was Deflategate. It was four games, and he got the injunction. He got the stay, and he played that entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he missed the four games the next year.
Next year.
So it's going to be interesting to see if they do the same thing with Sean Watson. He could end up playing the full season for the Cleveland Browns and then taking his medicine the next year. So we'll have to see what happens. But I fully expect them to go indefinite, and that leaves it wide open for them how long they're going to let that go. But I think they want at least a full season for him to be suspended.
It's a bad look for the NFL. This whole thing's been a bad look for Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Okay? For what we all thought, I thought the Chiefs should have drafted Deshaun Watson. I thought he looked like a great kid. You heard nothing but good things about him at Clemson. He was a winner. He was battling. He was fighting all this stuff in the community and all this stuff, even as a college player. And, you know, he did a nice job at Houston. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They did some things. They did lose a 28-point lead. I'm blaming that on the coach. 24-0 is all it was?
24-0.
Coach.
I'd given up on the game, and I was there working. partially on him, but it wasn't like he threw six pick sixes. They messed that thing up other ways. But then he got pouty when they traded DeAndre Hopkins. They didn't win very many games, and then this whole thing pops up, and then they somehow just doesn't do anything. He just sits there, and they've negotiated some sort of a truce where he can just get paid.
Yeah.
And then the Texans just paid all these people off, too.
Yeah.
How long has this been going on with him? 16 months, 18 months when we first started this?
Yeah.
My opinion of him has switched as much as it has on about anybody.
Yeah. Every woman's been paid except one of the original 24. Mm-hmm. I think 23 of 24 have been paid. Although, remember, they came out and said there could be as many as 66.
Who knows? How many
whatever.
How many days in the year were there? I don't know.
Now he has to get all his massages in the building.
Yeah, by team personnel.
Team masseuse.
Going cold turkey on that, I guess. Frank Bohl is here. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to play some Frank Opinions. I have not cheated.
Ew.
I have not looked. We're not going to cheat on this thing. That's
no
coming
cheating.
Up next.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Who was the first tight end to have a 90-catch season? Todd Lebo, you got this relatively quickly.
Right away. Do you know the answer, Frank? 90 catches by a tight
first
end?
Ever. Who did it?
Didn't you
first
say?
One.
I heard you scream.
He was
like
also
Todd
the second
Todd
ever
Christensen,
to do it.
Yeah.
Yep, our old friend, our old college football insider.
He was great.
On the program.
He was awesome.
The late, great Todd Christensen. It's been almost 10 years. He died in 2013.
I just see it. A month ago, his son died.
I did not see that.
I think
seriously?
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Love Todd Christensen on the program.
Todd was a great guy.
I love Todd Christensen
a great guest.
As a Raider because I liked the Raiders when Todd Christensen played.
Yeah.
And he's a BYU Cougar, too.
Very nice man, and was one hell of a
Ethan's looking at us like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're speaking a language I don't understand.
Go look it up. Wore 46. One of the first tight ends that I remember not wearing a number in the 80s, wore number 46. And
he's hit the cool numbers back in the day,
man. He was the first and second tight end to have a 90-catch season.
Yeah, very good. Frank Bowl is here, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. I have not cheated. I'm a normal voter. In Frank Opinions, I like to vote and get my voice heard out there, but I'm playing
You're
now.
You're the one that screws up that game for me all the time.
I try to vote the way I think you'd think. That's hard to figure out.
All
right, Curtis, what have we got?
Don't try to get into Frank's head, man. No. That's a scary exploration.
I've known this man a long time.
All right, rate your satisfaction level with what the Royals did at the trade deadline. 0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 10.
I go first. Mm-hmm. 4 to 6. It's radio, Frank. You have to talk.
4 to 6.
What percentage? Whatever you guys tie, I like to give a percentage. Break the tie.
46%.
45.
56.5. 35% said 0 to 3.
What did you think about that, Frank?
Only 8.5% thought it was.
Call the fight. It's over. I win.
Who will lead the Royals in home runs this season, Bobby Witt Jr. or Sal Perez? Bobby Witt Jr. regained the lead today with his 15th.
Bobby Witt Jr.
I think it's Salvi, but the people are probably on the youngster because he's going to not be hurt. Witt Jr.
64% said
Salvi.
Sal Perez. 35% said Witt. Only 8/10 of a percent.
They watched him hit a 9,000-foot home run the other day.
The NFL has appealed the suspension of Deshaun Watson. When it's settled, how many games will Watson's suspension be? 6 games, 7 to 17, or more than 17?
Correct answer is not enough, but
it's not an option. You're just like these people in his Twitter.
Yeah. I'll say 7 to 17.
Tweet that so I can respond to you angrily.
I was going to say 7 to 17, and then Frank said it too.
What percentage?
Oh, it's my turn. There's 4 of them there.
3.
Oh, there's 3.
6 games, 7 to 17, or more than 17.
40.
41.
64.
Oh, I win again.
Eight match.
21% said more than 17. Only 14% think it'll stay at 6 games. Who will have the most sacks of these 3 players? Frank Clark, George Karlaftis, Carlos Dunlap.
George Karlaftis.
Carlos Dunlap.
39% said Carlos Dunlap. 32% said Frank Clark.
29% said shut up.
Oh, the fight.
I'm getting killed.
Throwing the towel at him. He's done.
What was Vin Scully's best call? Gibson Eckersley, Buckner, Aaron 715th, or other?
My first?
Hmm.
I think I've seen the Gibson one a lot recently here, so I'm going to go Gibson.
Francis?
Somehow get back in this game. Give me the other ones.
Buckner 86 or Aaron 715th.
I'll say Aaron 715.
That was second best. 49% though said Gibson Eckersley. 30% said Aaron. 12% said Buckner. 8% said
quit
other.
Keeping score
and
over there.
The one
I'm waiting to put a
on
tick
other.
Mark down. How many other things he got sent to you?
The ones the people sent on other primarily and I probably should have used that one. No, actually it was Koufax's 4th no-hitter, the perfect game in 66.
Oh, wow.
They thought that should have been the one they used. Or 60. Yeah,
whatever 66. Year.
Best of these 4 remakes.
Oh.
Ocean's 11, A Star is Born, True Grit, or The Departed?
My first?
Yep.
I'm going to think Ocean's 11 is a good popcorn movie. I think that's where it's going to go.
True Grit.
47% said Ocean's 11, 27% said The Departed, 13% said True Grit, 11% said Stars Born.
This isn't even fun anymore.
You know what this is? This is the Texans are beating the Chiefs, and you're the Chiefs. You're about to come back on this, Frank.
We don't have enough questions left for me.
Right, I should have saved the Scully one for last because I want to kind of talk about that and see what you think about Vin being – not quite a contemporary of his, but
close
enough for comedy's sake. And finally, what meat do you get on your Chipotle order? Chicken, steak, carnitas, barbacoa?
Chicken.
I think we have a very healthy group of people who are listening and following you on Twitter. So I'm going to say I would say chicken, but since Frank
you can
said
say chicken and then
no,
guess
I'm
the percentage.
Chicken.
I'm gonna go barbacoa.
Actually, barbacoa finished last.
Okay.
49% said chicken, 24% said steak, 16% said crunch.
Hey, I would have said 49%.
I was going to use either barbacoa or carnitas and put veggie on there, but so I actually tried a little pre-poll with those two, and it kept they split it. So I'm like, I can't. I gotta
hey,
you got on the board.
What is barbacoa?
Well, it's beef, pork. But it's the is one it? That's
carnitas. It's like a braised pork. Shredded beef.
Okay. Shredded, yeah. Yeah.
I've been educated today.
Here's what you do.
What?
You get steak, half chicken, and you hope they only ring you up for chicken. We used to call that the 60-cent kiss. It's probably more than that now. But they're wise. They're wise. They see, oh, yeah. If it's busy and there's like three people on the line working in there, sometimes, oh, it looks like a piece of chicken in there. And you get rang up for a little bit less.
Earlier today, Frank, I said that Vin Scully, his career, is almost impossible to adequately define.
It's By the way, did
so
I win?
Amazing.
Did
yeah,
I win?
I think so.
I won.
It's so amazing that you could try to say, well, summarize what Vin was. I don't think it's possible, but who was he to you?
His greatest, I mean, what his greatest baseball broadcaster ever, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he started 25. He did a World Series game at 25, went through all the stuff he's gone through. He has broadcast virtually every magic moment in Major League Baseball history. Was a storyteller extraordinaire. Knew when to shut up, which is extremely important. Let the event carry itself. Let the whatever happened carry itself, like Hank Aaron's 7:15, and just he was off the mic for almost a minute, right?
I think it was two minutes.
Yeah, almost something 2 minutes. Like that. He actually said
got
everybody
walked
said,
out of the room.
They said he pushed away, got up and walked out of the room. Just let it. Just crazy. I mean, it's just nuts. So.
Yeah, and just so consistent over the years, and it never lost. Even when his voice began to fade, he never lost that
ability.
One of
the nicest
ability.
Men
yes.
you could ever meet.
When
and
you
a
were
guy
a kid,
who helped every all the contemporaries.
When you were a kid in Pittsburgh,
yes.
who were you listening to?
Bob Prince.
Yeah, and how long did he do that?
Oh,
long time.
Long
Into
time.
Into the 70s, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
He did the ABC Monday Night Baseball for a while, too.
Yeah, he was great. The Gunner. Mm-hmm. Bob Prince, he was great.
How many no-hitters have you seen in person?
Being actually at the ballpark or working?
Actually at the yard.
I don't think I've ever seen a no-hitter at
Todd,
the yard.
Zero.
I walked in on one at the end.
Snuck in at the end of Sabes.
Well, I did too. I did Sabes deal, but I had to run out.
Yeah.
But you were in the ballpark.
Well, for the very end of it, yeah.
So he's down at the station, and then
you wouldn't
like,
have
oh,
otherwise.
Oh hell,
he's
like
got a no-hitter.
Front to back. So yeah. Okay, Adam, have you seen a no-hitter in person? Major League Baseball no-hitter?
No, that would be wonderful, but no.
I was a food vendor at the stadium from 1986 till about 1994. So I was there not every night because I didn't work very hard. I'll be honest, I skipped some nights, okay, because we didn't have to be there every night. But what was the date of that no-hitter? August 25th, 1991?
91. I think it was earlier than that.
Not
it was
much
like
earlier.
August 18th, August 17th.
Okay, so you know when you go away to college, when you go away? About a week before that. So I had put my leave of absence in, the LOA, because I had to go back to college for my senior year. So it's an afternoon, or it's a midweek game, right? It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. And I'm down in our apartment in Norman, and you know, the game's not on television. You don't know it's happening, but you know it's happening because that's when Baseball Tonight was actually a thing, and you'd watch that. And,
although
you know,
you're right, August 26th. You had August 26th.
I'm already down there, and then like 40 minutes after the game's over, the phone rings, and it's my dad. And he says, guess where I just got back from? I said, you son of a, you were at the damn game. He'd gotten someone, it just said, hey, you want to go to the game tonight? And they went out to the game, so he got to watch a damn no-hitter.
So I walked
up and down all of those stairs for all of those years, and I never saw nothing like a no-hitter.
Do you know anyone? I have a close friend who's seen a no-hitter in person.
Just my dad.
Just your dad.
That's the only one
I'm
know
sure
of.
There were people out there that night. I don't remember.
Vin Scully called 18 no-hitters.
You do enough games.
And three perfect games.
You play enough golf, you're going to get a hole in one.
Three perfect games.
Yeah, that includes Jack Morris's no-hitter on the Sunday game of the week early in the 84 season. Mm-hmm. He was on the call for that one for NBC.
Probably. But, is it 56 World Series? Was he,
yeah, he
calling
was
the game for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
You know, Fernando,
four
late.
For Koufax.
Yeah.
Fernando.
Wow.
John Candelaria. He was on the other end in Monday Night Baseball when John Candelaria, the Pirates,
shut up. No hit him
in 76.
Like, you know, Denny's been doing the games for 50 some years for the Royals. Yeah. And there haven't haven't been that many because the Royals have only been no hit
six.
A couple of times.
They've been no hit twice and they've thrown four. So Denny's called six.
It's pretty amazing that there's only been that many.
In 53 years.
In all that time.
How tough it is.
18. Most recent, the last one.
You understand how many steps I walked up and down and never saw a no hitter?
Yeah. Selling red ropes?
Never sold red ropes, Frank. That's what you say. Selling red ropes? No, I'm not selling red ropes. I'm not selling that damn licorice. Out there selling peanuts, the easy stuff, or ice cold Coca-Cola's, hot steaming weenies. Yeah.
Well, we'll hear Vin's call because there's a part of the Gibson call that doesn't really get repeated. But if you listen to the thing long enough, there's a part at the end that I think is fantastic. It might be the best part of the call. So we'll hear that in Need to Know, and we'll hear more from him from later on today.
Good stuff.
But what are we going to hear next? You're going to quiz me? Do I get quizzed? Like,
yeah,
Serena,
you get
quizzed. All right, I'm going to get quizzed. I know what's up. That's coming up next here. I know some things.
You know lots of stuff.
I know some things. I get lost sometimes. All right, Frank, quiz me. I'm ready.
All right, despite warnings from the Chinese government, Nancy Pelosi visited
Taiwan.
Very good.
I said Taiwan. Where am I from?
Taiwan.
I'm from Independence.
Number one.
Okay, what? One of two countries whose huge rockets broke up over the atmosphere and sent chunks of metal plummeting to Earth this week? One of the two countries.
Iran.
China and USA SpaceX.
Damn it.
A Missouri man is accused of attempted murder for shooting at a what?
Ice cream truck?
A crop duster flying too close to his home.
Angry. Wow.
And what was the voter turnout in Johnson County yesterday?
It was high, right?
Very high.
60%.
Close. 53%.
Pretty high.
That's very high.
How about that?
Especially
exercise,
for a midterm.
Exercise, you're right. I voted.
I did too.
Did you vote?
Yeah, I voted. Absolutely.
I got my little pin here. I got my little purple pin they gave me. Because, you know, we fill in the blanks
sticker.
In Jackson County. It's not electronic.
All right, Tom Brady is 45 today. Who caught his first NFL touchdown pass? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.